And Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for touching my heart. Thank you for touching all of us. We do thank you for what you're going to do tonight in this teaching on faith. And we honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Last time we got together, Faith Part 2, we were in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And I'm going to be just preaching out of the Bible. So if you got your Bibles, that'll be good. You can't use the screen tonight. But here we go. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. So in our notes there, I wrote down, our worship is an act of faith. Our worship is an act of faith. You know, when you come into the presence of the Lord, many times, you know, our bodies don't want to. Our minds don't want to. We're thinking about what we got to do. We're thinking about after service. We're thinking about after prayer. We're thinking about, you know, all these different things. In fact, if you really want to remember things you're supposed to do for the day, get you a notepad before you go pray, because the devil will remind you of about 100 things you should have done and things you should do. All you do is write down real quick and then go pray, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to distract you and pull you away from that time. But our worship is an act of faith. Our giving to the Lord, our approaching him, is an act of faith. You worship God by faith, in faith, and through faith. Because, again, there are times when we don't feel him. There's times we come into the sanctuary, or we come into a time of praise or a time of worship or time of prayer, and we just don't feel the Lord. Every one of us. Because we are creatures of feelings. We have that feeling, that ability to feel, that desire to feel. We want to know our surroundings. We want to go into a room and be comfortable. We want the temperature right. We want the seat right. We want all these different things right, because we are people of feelings. So faith supersedes those feelings. The great thing about the Holy Ghost is he'll let you feel him. He'll let you be touched, and you can sense the presence of the Lord and all the different senses that you that come alive, I should say, when the presence of the Lord is in the room. And you know that when the presence of the Lord is there. But faith overrides the feelings or lack thereof. You know, so it's a powerful principle. Even though we desire to feel and to experience things in worship, it's by faith, okay? It's by faith, and that's what he did. So faith here, I wrote down, it was generational. Faith lives. Faith is the footprint and the fingerprint of a believer. Because here was Abel, and it says that Abel, well, we know what happened. He was killed, right? Abel was killed by Cain, but yet his blood spoke from the ground. As we go to the story, we know what happened. And then it says here, God testifying of his gifts. Remember that, testifying or having testimony or witness. I tell you, I'd like to have the Lord as my witness in any situation. Again, that would be pretty amazing. You go into a courtroom and they ask for any witnesses to come forward, and here comes God. That would be pretty awesome. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. So I had you write down, it still speaks. It's still speaking. What? The testimony, the faith of Abel, because he did it in righteousness, still speaks. We're still speaking about it in 2020 after all that time. And see, I believe you can live a legacy of faith. You can leave a legacy of faith, but you can also live a type of legacy of faith. You can live a life of faith to where every day you're leaving faith footprints and faith fingerprints. Imagine that. By sowing seed and being a blessing. Sowing seeds and being a blessing. And witnessing. laying hands on the sick, doing what you're supposed to do with your faith. So faith, it still speaks, and it speaks for you and I. Verse 5, and by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Woo! Glory to God. I want to please him. I want it to be known in heaven and earth that I pleased God. How am I going to please God? I please him by faith. Faith without works is dead. So I take my faith and I work it together and I please God. I was created. You were created for his good pleasure. If you ever wanted to please God ever in your life, do it by faith. Again, I don't have the feelings all the time. Sometimes you wake up and you just wonder, you know, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Or you just wonder, man, you know, God, you still there? I know some people are super spiritual and they talk to him all the time and they have a direct line. I got it. But sometimes you just wake up and you go, you know, man, what happened? Well, you got to be by faith. You got to read the Bible. It says that he'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's for you, not against you. If God be with you, if God be for you, who could ever be against you? And when you have that indelible mark in your heart, it doesn't matter what you feel. You live by faith. So Enoch was, and then he wasn't. Because God said, hey, man, I like you. Come on up here. He was gone. Verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. Must believe what? That he is God. That he is Jehovah Jireh. That he is Jehovah Rapha. He's all these different things. He's El Shaddai. He's Elohim. He's Jehovah. He's everything. He must believe that. And if he does, guess what? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So those were the powerful truths that we talked about last time. And we got to do it by faith. I want you to, I know you wrote it down, but say it with me again. God will never create a world where faith is not needed. God will never create a world where faith is not needed. He will never create a life where faith is not needed. He'll never create a church where faith is not needed. He'll never create a marriage where faith is not needed. No matter what your circumstance is, you will always need to live by faith. And I know I've mentioned that all three of the teachings, but I want it to be an indelible mark in your heart and in your mind. So faith part 3, Hebrews chapter 11, faith part 3. Let's go to verse 7. By faith or in faith or through faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. So Noah, by faith, received a warning. He had to receive the warning by faith. He had to recognize and realize the voice of God. He had to accept that it was God speaking to him. He had to use discernment and have faith in that discernment, faith that God was warning him. And I believe that this is where a lot of people in the body fall short when it comes to the prophetic, because they just don't believe that God would do certain things in which his Bible says he would do, though they say they're Bible believers. God said it, but they don't believe it because it doesn't fit their theology. It doesn't fit their mindset. It doesn't fit their psychology. It doesn't fit things of their life and their future dreams and plans, so they reject it. Well, when you reject it, then you reject it and you lose the principle of faith. So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things that were not, they weren't seen yet. Just like we've done here at Ignited and other ministries who teach and preach prophetic principles of the Word of God and operate in the prophetic Word, God warned and warned and warned, and by faith you prepared. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, people in my family said to me, why didn't you warn me? And the individual said, you know what? We've been warning you. Been sending you CDs. I've been telling you what my pastor has said and so on and so forth, and you rejected it. You didn't want to accept it. But by faith, those that did accept it, they were warned of God, even though they couldn't see it. We've got to be people of faith. Faith is not just believing the Bible. I'm a person of faith. Well, that's sweet, but do you live by faith? Do you walk by faith? By faith is not a religion. This is my faith. My faith is Christianity. No, I'm a Christian. That's who I am. That's who I is. I live by faith. That's my lifestyle. That's the currency of my life. That's the energy. That's the strength of my life. It's faith. Faith in God and nothing else. And I receive my download of faith by this Bible. And by being in church and hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We've gone over that many, many times, but that's the truth. So I can build upon the faith that's already inside of me. And Noah did this. Watch this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He moved with fear. So the first principle I want you to write down is faith will move you. Faith will move you. Faith is action. Faith is a verb. Faith is always continuously alive. Faith doesn't take a vacation. Faith doesn't go to sleep. Faith doesn't die. Religion gives faith a funeral. Huh. But relationship with God resurrects it. And says, man, I'm alive in Christ. I have faith 24/7, 365. I don't take government holidays. Faith doesn't take a pandemic break. It doesn't take a curse break. It doesn't take judgment break. It doesn't take insanity break. Faith is alive. Now faith is. Man, I love this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So the first thing I want you to write down is that he moved. Faith moves you. Faith moves you into action. Look, when all this stuff is going on the planet, we do not stop. We move in faith. We use wisdom. We use discernment. We kind of see where we are. We try to figure things out and see what time it is and what God wants us to do. Sometimes the best strategy is to be quiet for a minute. Sometimes the best strategy is to say, all right, I'll play you a game for a little bit. Okay, I'll listen. But at the same time, I have a strategy. There's a plan in heaven that God is going to release upon the body of Christ. And there's something we need to be doing right now by faith. And that is moving in the things of God. So faith moves. And notice it said he moved with fear. Fear. Now that fear is reverence. He was fearful. He was in reverence of God. He knew that he should obey. He knew that he should do the right thing. He knew he should walk according to the principles of God. He knew that he should walk circumspectively before his God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. You can go there when you have an opportunity. It speaks of walking circumspectively, walking carefully. Faith makes you aware and sensitive to where you say, man, I don't want to mess up. I want to do exactly what God wants me to do in this hour. I want to do exactly what God has planned for me. I don't want to miss it. I don't care what other churches are doing. I don't care what's going on Main Street or this street or that street. I want to do what God is telling me to do on Faith Street. And I want to walk circumspectively. And Noah's faith in God made him do that, and he moved with fear. Somebody needs to hear that. You need to move with fear, with reverence to God. You need to move out in what God wants you to do. Well, Pastor, don't you know the hour? Absolutely. Who doesn't know what time it is? You'd have to be upside down in the post hole or just be in complete denial and rejection of truth and reality. But faith moves. He moved with fear. And he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. So the second thing I want you to look at is that faith builds. Faith constructs. Not only does faith move forward in reverence circumspectively before God, but faith also builds. Faith builds. We're builders. Not just preachers up here, you, everybody, we're builders. Our faith builds. What have we been doing all these years, witnessing to our family who are now listening to many of you? We've been building an ark. We've been preparing by faith. To them, it looked like fear. To them, it looked like you're hoarding. To them, it looked like you were crazy. To them, it looks like you were following a crazy person. But the truth of the matter is you were doing exactly like Noah did, who was led by God, who knew things were coming, even though he didn't see the first raindrop. He knew things were coming. He knew there was times of trouble, and he moved forward circumspectively before his God, and he, in faith, began to build that ark. He prepared an ark for his family. And I believe that's our job as we move forward, to prepare an ark. Because there's going to be more tragedy in the days to come. This isn't it. It's not one and done. There's going to be more issues because the Bible says so. And as more issues come and more dominoes fall, we're not to go back. We're to move forward and build and build and build and build. Again, that building doesn't have to be like we're doing here at Ignited, getting our food building together and our ISM building together. It can be building through your home and getting ready, buying Bibles, tracts, putting food away absolutely for family and friends, but also getting prepared for the next domino and doing it by faith because we're builders. Please understand that. It's wonderful when we get together as a team and we start building what we're doing here at Ignited, all the Ignited family. We're doing this together, whether you're here or you live in Arizona, no matter where you live, we're a family doing this thing. But there's things for you to do in your home to build an ark. And don't let anybody stop you. And I'm so glad many of you continued to move forward and you didn't stop, because I know you had a great opportunity to do that. And people told you, oh, no, man, you know, we got it made now. We got, you know, we got superhero in the White House. We got all this. So don't you worry about it, man. The GOV is going to take care of us. This is easy street. No, it's nightmare on Main Street. And it's going to get worse of what's going to be left in the wake of it all. So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. He built it to save his family. We do everything by faith, and we do it for redemptive reasons. You notice it didn't say that he built it so he can save his skin. Noah built an ark so he can bug out. Noah built a bomb shelter. No. Noah went into a cave and he hid. No. Noah just got himself in there with a bunch of MREs and beanie weenies. No. He built an ark large enough for the animals, according to the Bible, and for his family. How big's your family? Build an ark around them. How big's your neighborhood? Build an ark around them. Wherever your influence reaches, build an ark around it. Prepare enough for each and every person. Because let me tell you, the system isn't going to work. System's not working right now. Look at the food banks. Can't handle it. In certain places. South Florida, miles. Lines of cars, miles and miles and miles long. Pennsylvania, California, other places. They can only go so long till they run out. Got to build an ark. For the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So number one was faith moves. Number two, faith builds. Number three, faith saves. Faith saves. How are we going to reach the people that are lost by faith? How are we going to reach those that are hungry and destitute and they're out of their jobs? We're going to do it by faith. You say, well, Pastor, I only have a little bit. Well, you ever heard of a miracle? We're going to see tremendous miracles in the days to come. And number four, faith makes you an heir of righteousness. Because of the faith of Noah and the actions of which he did, it condemned the world that didn't believe and rejected the warnings and gave him a position and a place of righteousness. God said, you're righteous with me because you obeyed me. Everybody else outside of the ark of the door was condemned. See, I can't help everybody, but I can help somebody. Let me try that again. I can't help everybody, but I can help somebody. And I can only help the somebody that puts their hand out. I can only put my hand in the hand of somebody that would reach and grab. So I'm only responsible for those to whom want to be helped. But I must build an ark. I must be prepared. I must do like Noah has done and did and prepare for the saving of my family by faith, not by fear. It was an amazing sight to see as you all witness America and the world panicking. And I understand that. I got it. If you don't know God, that's pretty scary. Let me try that again. If you don't know God, and if you have not prepared, if you have not built an ark, if you don't have faith inside of you, then when you see all this stuff coming at you, no matter the media hype, no matter what's being done nefariously, it produces fear. But the faithful don't operate in fear. We operate in faith. And how do we operate in faith? By preparing. Man, I remember, you all remember this, people getting so mad saying, well, that's not faith preparing. I just read it to you. Well, that's fear. Just fear-mongering. Man, you're just fearful. God will take care of you. Yeah, he will. And he gave me a little insect called an ant who has more faith than many in the body of Christ because they work it. Work it. They work it. And they make it happen. And they're kingdom builders. If you ever watched their style of operation, it's kingdom minded. They work, 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 work in levels of workers. For one purpose, to build that system, to build that kingdom. And the church, because of an election, because of this or because of that, man, they lose their faith. They lose the Bible knowledge and they just say, well, you know, God's going to take care of me and we're going to get a check in the mail. You got your check yet, by the way? I'm wondering. I ain't got my check yet. Oh, man. Crazy. And you're laughing. The minute you're laughing at the house, you know it's the truth. People told you, man, you're fearful. Go to your house and go in the closet to get a towel or something, you know, in the guest room or whatever, and there's cans everywhere and almost falls on their head. And what are you doing? It ain't hurricane season yet. I'm preparing. That's a bunch of nonsense. And then next thing you know, you see them at Costco's and they got about 50 bags of toilet paper, cartons, whatever there are, you know, rolls. Oh, my gosh. Oh, there's so much I could say about that, but I'm going to move on. All right, so we'll save it for Sunday, I guess. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house, to which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So he became an heir to righteousness. And that's what it'll do. It'll cause you to be righteous. Why? Because you obeyed God. You listened. Those that are listening to me right now that prepared, the righteousness of God is on you. That's why folks can go to you now. And that's why they'll trust you in the days to come, in the storms to come. They will go to you. Not so that you can be prideful and you're the sage of the family. But they're going to say, man, you was right. If they'll drop their pride, They'll say, man, you was right. Grandma, you was right. So on and so forth. You were right. And you say, no, it's not that I was right. The Bible was right. Because the Bible always is right. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place. There's always a place of faith that God will send you. And you and I do not have the right and the ability to carve out that place or to chart that journey without him by faith. Because it is his place. It's called destiny. It's his decision. It's what he wants you to do. I love teaching destiny to young people, really to anybody listen, but mainly young people because they're fresh and they're ready to move on with life. But your destiny is not found on what you desire to be in life. It is found in his desire for your life. And you discover your destiny. You were born for such a time as this, but you have to discover that destiny through relationship with God. Now, it could be occupation outside of ministry, absolutely. But if we would teach our young people that by faith, like Abraham, we go to that place, we wouldn't have guys and gals that are in their 20s still in the dormitory eating bonbons and drinking lattes, not knowing what in the world they want to do. Quitting school and changing their majors and, I mean, it's insanity. I understand struggle. And I understand trying to make decisions in life. But there's a place called destiny. And so by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't have no idea, but he was going to that place. And he did it by faith. He did it by faith. If I would open up this microphone to you watching right now, we would sit here all night long talking about times when God led us to places we had no idea. But our destiny was there. Just the story of Jennifer and I being here. We had no idea. Livonia? Hartwell? What is this? Never been here. Don't know nothing about it. Heard about Georgia. Like their peaches. And then all of a sudden obey God to go to that place, and then that place he'll bless you. And it turns out to be your destiny, and it be at the present time your lifelong ministry and plan of God. It's an amazing thing. And you all have the same stories. Especially those you've moved around from state to state or what have you, city to city, until you got to that place God wanted you to be. So by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. So faith brings obedience. You want to write that down. Faith produces, faith brings obedience. Faith and obedience work together. You can't tell me you have faith and you don't obey. That's a lie. That doesn't make sense. That's an oxymoron. It doesn't belong. It doesn't fit together. Even Sesame Street teaches you when things don't fit together. That doesn't fit together. Well, I have all kinds of faith. Boy, I got faith in God, faith in God, faith in God. And been sitting in the chair for 20 years in the pew. And he ain't done nothing. And there's a person I used to know years ago in ministry. They just kept telling me everything they was going to do for God. And they didn't. Great plans, grand plans. I mean, big vision. And anytime I mention my vision, the person mentioned their vision 10 times bigger than my vision. I thought, wow, they're going to be something. Wow, man, I'm just little old me and my little pea pod. Peas in a pod, that's all I got. But this is a giant here. 1 year goes by, nothing. 2 years go by, nada. 3, 4, 5 nits, nothing, gone, no ministry, just talk. That's not faith. Faith moves, faith builds, faith moves forward and says, I'm going to accomplish, I'm going to that place, I will obey you by faith. I don't understand everything, God. I don't understand where you're sending me to. I don't understand this day and age. I don't know how things could be somewhat rosy in 2019 to all of a sudden all hell breaks loose in 2020. You warned us. You told us it was coming from the years past. I don't understand everything, but you said it. So by faith, I will obey you. I will enter into my 2020, and I will face this year, a year of critical mass, a year of the dominoes, repercussions, and all the other parts of that word and other words that prophetic voices have had. You got to obey. Faith obeys. Faith says, I believe you. I believe what you say, God. Just like Peter, I'm going to step out of the boat because I believe. So many people use faith, that word, that phrase, I have faith. They use it so flippantly, so carnally. It is not a rabbit's foot. It is not a lucky charm. There's nothing magical about it. Faith is real. It's the substance. It's evidence. It's the currency of heaven. It is God moving through you, and you obey him and say, God, I will obey you. I don't understand everything. I don't like everything, but I'm going to obey you. Because if you look back real quick at the life of Abraham, he had it made with his family. Very wealthy. Very wealthy. Superstitious family, but he was in that world. And God says, I want you to get out of there, son. I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to take you on a journey. It's a journey of faith. He didn't know where he was going. I don't understand everything of where I'm going. I have dreams and promises from God. Jennifer and I have all kinds of things the Lord has spoken to us over the years. We've watched them come to fruition right here in Livonia, Georgia. And there's other things yet to come. But I'm going to obey him. I don't know how he's going to get me to that next level. I don't know how he's going to fulfill those words he told us in our hearts. Don't know. But I will obey by faith. Each and every day, I will obey by faith. So let's look at this some more. Verse 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Now, there's a lot to chew on right here, and we're going to get into it. So let's look at it real closely. Let's dissect this. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. So I want you to write down journey of faith. Faith is a journey, but it's a journey of faith. Okay? And I want you to write down Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 4. We're going to go there in just a minute, but I want to lay some path, foundational stepping stones in order for us to get there. So it is a journey of faith. And so he told him to sojourn, or he was a sojourner. Let me read to you what that means, because it's very interesting. It's a resident alien. This is what it means. Watch this. A resident alien, one who lives somewhere but doesn't have permanent residence there, doesn't have permanent status there. That is very, very cool. So Abraham was a sojourner. He was what? He was a resident alien. He did not have permanent status in that promised land. But watch this. The only thing that Abraham and Sarah owned were two burial plots. That was it. In the land of promise, where God said, I want you to go, where Abraham obeyed by faith, He never took possession of that land. And he only had a place to bury him and his wife, which is our Christian testimony of our father of faith, the example of Abraham, that we're only passing through this land. We are resident aliens of this earth, and our eternal home is heaven. Woo! Glory to God, with him forever. And he built a mansion for us, a dwelling place, in which one day when we leave this earthly prison called body and flesh, we'll be forever free in the presence of the Lord, never to be sick again, never to cry again, never to have a depressed moment of our lives, never to go through any tragedy, crisis, crime, or problem. But we pass through to that side of eternity by faith, just like Abraham did. You got to put my body somewhere. If I don't go by rapture, you got to chunk me somewhere. You got to be put somewhere. And so this is the example of Abraham and Sarah. So watch this now. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Hold your finger or put your resurrection seed there. That's a good segue. Resurrection seed this Sunday. Be a part of giving, man. It's going to be a blessed service, and we're going to have communion together. Woo, it's going to be awesome. So why do you take up an offering on Resurrection Day? Because he gave us his best, and I want to give my best to him. I want to honor my God. Watch this. Now the Lord said unto Abram, this is Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, get thee out of the country. Didn't sound like he said please, did he? He didn't say maybe. It's kind of like he hollered at him a little bit. Get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land which I will show thee. Destiny is a place that God will show you. Destiny is a place that God will show you. That's right. I believe there's people that are supposed to be here with us in Livonia in the coming days. God will show you that. Some should have been here already. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and he went and he prayed and had a couple people confirm to make sure he heard from the Lord. No, he went and obeyed. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 11. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Now, this is awesome here because this is where you get into faith seed. Now, some people don't believe in faith seed. They don't understand faith seed, and seeds of faith has been manipulated and brought into the wrong light. But taught properly according to biblical truth, it is an absolutely powerful principle of God, because Abraham, as you look in chapter 12, where was Isaac and Jacob? They weren't there. Where was the Messiah? He wasn't there. But it says that they dwelt with him in tabernacles in this land. Well, we know that happened later on, around Genesis 26 or so. They were born and brought into the earth, and they dwelt in tabernacles in a type of nomadic life. But according to Abraham's faith, as soon as God said, go, and I will make thee great, he was fatherless. He knew within his heart that God's word was as good as his seed. God's word was as good as a seed, or as his seed. He knew that he would become those things that God said he would be. And that faith seed was alive within him. It was absolutely in his heart. He knew that he knew that he knew though we didn't understand how it would happen, because we know he struggled. Remember, he struggled with Hagar. He struggled trying to understand, and he said, you know what, God, I'm going to help you. Sarah and him, which my wife said Sarah must have lost her mind, but she said, you know what, I'm going to help you, and we're going to, you know, we're going to fix this thing up for you, and you're going to have you a child. Jen said to me one time, she said, no way, Jose. But it happened. We know that Ishmael came forth, and the promise came later, which was Isaac. But see, Abraham, he moved by faith because he knew God said it, and if God said it, he'll perform it. So to him, that faith seed was already there. It was already in his mind. Though he didn't understand it, though he messed up and tried to help God out, he still knew a seed would come. He just didn't know how. And that's a whole nother teaching on obedience and hearing God and faith and all those things concerning moving in that direction. But he was there. Even Isaac and Jacob dwelt with him in faith because of the story and the promise that God gave to Abraham. Abraham passed it on to them. And that heritage and that life of faith, that legacy of faith comes to us today. And so we can say in great confidence, I have seed faith. I believe what God has said to me about my seed. He said to me about the promises. They are yea and amen. And I wrap my faith around that seed. And I believe I will see what God promised me. I'll give you an example for Jennifer and I. There's a personal thing. But we dwelt with the name Joshua David, my son, for how many years? 7 years before he was born? 9.5 years. Because I told my wife when I met her and we got married, we would have a son. His name would be Joshua David. And it took us about that long, besides world missions and things, we were traveling before she could ever have a child. And my son, Joshua David, was born. We dwelt in tabernacles. We dwelt in our, well, apartment complexes. We dwelt in trailers, whatever. We lived like we lived, but the whole time we had a promise of our child coming. That was a faith seed. We believed God for it. And then we got Judah, and then we got Abby. And Mama said, no more. Anybody here? You have testimonies the same. What is that? That's a journey of faith. I'm going to this place, and when I get to that place, there's going to be birthing. There's going to be life. There's going to be gifting of God. And that's what Abraham did. He moved. He knew. He knew. In Genesis chapter 12, he received his blessing because there was no way for him to be a blessing to the nations of the world just being by himself at 75 years old. Man, we got to have that kind of faith today. We got to dwell in our tabernacles with the faith and the belief system within us that we are going to see a mighty move of God's Spirit, that we're going to see harvest and revival for our families. Look at verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations. First thing I want you to write down here on this particular verse. For he looked for a city. Faith looks. Faith is always looking. Faith is always seeking. Faith is not never hiding. Faith doesn't cover its eyes and say, oh my goodness, we're not going to make it. That's what fear does. You ever been driving with somebody and didn't think you were going to make it? Don't want to look to see what's going to happen? Faith doesn't say that. Faith says, punch it. Do it. Do it again. Back up and do it again. That was awesome, man. Go a little faster around the curve. That's what my youngins always do. They have all that kind of faith. They're like, I remember my grandmother, she used to have a Nova. A Nova. And, she was very aristocratic, very proper woman, and always had her hair perfect. Everything was to the T's. And she was in that Nova, and
she didn't realize how strong it was. It was actually my grandpa's Nova. And she would get into the gravel to turn a corner and hit it. And when she hit it, it would spin the tires and the car would go sideways and she about flip out, earrings almost come off. And we in the back would go, "Go, Grandma, punch it." What is that, man? Besides being a little child, being excited. That's faith, man. Faith. Faith looks. Abraham was looking. For he looked for a city. He sojourned. He had no problem being a resident alien. He had no problem just owning a place to throw his carcass in the ground. That's, he didn't care. Man, God spoke to me, and I am going to dwell in these tabernacles by faith. I have my faith seed inside of me. I'm going to move forward because I'm looking for that place. I'm looking for that city. I'm looking for that foundation that is of God. What happens to us when we get older? What happens to Christians, man, when they seem like they got it made in the shade? They stop looking. They stop looking for the things of God. And then we become like that story, you know, where we put our hands over our eyes. And we, oh, my gosh. The pandemic, the flu, oh. All these bad things, oh. You ask 99.99 of the children, whatever percentage, I mean 100% of them really, they're like, let's go. Let's go out to the park. Let's go play.
Well, they're just ignorant.
No, sometimes there's fearless faith. Sometimes there's just fearless faith.
For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Faith is always looking for God. Faith is always looking for the foundation that is in God. Faith is always looking for that firm place to put your foot on. And we need to do that in these days, in these times of troubles. We need to stand by faith. We need to seek the Lord by faith. And we need to never stop until we possess that eternal home with him. And we're going to do it by faith in this land that we're just passing through. Guys, I love you all. I appreciate you. I pray just a blessing on this Good Friday, strength and protection with your family. I pray that you can be a part of this resurrection service that's coming up this Sunday right here on live stream at Ignited Church. We're going to have communion. We're going to take up our resurrection seeds, your opportunity to give if you so want to. But I am looking forward to breaking bread with you as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior.